15 to 20 million jobs.
I am your future.
You have the power.
Isn't it about time for a change?
We're our national leaders.
AmericanWorkersRadio.com.
You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products, with your host, Michael Blihash.
Well, welcome everyone, and thanks for tuning in to another edition of American Workers Radio here on 860. Today's Halloween. Happy Halloween to all of you. Go out there, enjoy, welcome the kids, make sure you give them little treats. And of course, also go to your telephone right now if you live in the Philadelphia and tri-state area and invite someone into our broadcast by telling them, if they live in southeastern Pennsylvania, the state of New Jersey, or northern Delaware, to tune in on the radio at 860 AM. If they live outside the area, go to AmericanWorkersRadio.com, click on the Listen Live link, or you can listen anytime this afternoon by going to Listen Anytime. We're going to have a very exciting broadcast today. This is Open Forum again. And I want to say thank you, first of all, to the many panel members that do such a good job. They are volunteers, and they do a great job promoting America, which is something that was lacking for many years in the past as people looked somewhere else as America, you know, had needs of its own. I want to say, first of all, thank you to Mark Andel, the founder of the Made in America store, Larkin Connolly, National Small Business Advocate, Rich Logis, the principal of RJL Technology Integration, Curtis Ellis, the executive director of the American Jobs Alliance, and boy, he sends out some very good emails. He's on so many broadcasts, and we're honored always to have him here with us on American Workers Radio. Also, my thanks to our engineer, Henry Chaplinsky. And as you know from seeing me in my travels, I like to do all kinds of things to be out there with the people, listening to what they have to say. And boy, the people have a lot to say these days. And I'm Michael Blihash. Well, before I turn the microphone over to our special panel members today, every person in business or an organization certainly knows that one thing, it's one thing to make a suggestion. One thing you do is make a suggestion and you hope somebody else picks the ball up and runs with it. It's another thing to make a suggestion a reality, and more important, to make it continue and to be a success. That's exactly what the businesses in America have been doing. They have an idea, they decide to do it, they then depend on customers supporting them, and they become a very important part of our economy. I remember, now it's going to be in January, it's 19 years right now, in January it'll be 20 years that we've been promoting jobs in America on our broadcast. When I first started mentioning it, was kind of, you know, people were a little concerned that I was saying things that were not exactly happening in America as bad as they were 15, 20 years in the future. In the most recent years, the last 2 years, we've seen a lot of great things happening, and we see that it is possible to turn things around. Our efforts on this broadcast have been working together, and if I was giving out a report card, I would say that we have several successful movements, and I'd like to just mention them very briefly because they came about largely because of the supporters of people who wanted America to rise back to and be where she should be. First of all, you remember I started out with MichaelSupportsAmerica.com. It's still alive, and it directs to American Workers Radio. Then we started with the Buy American Made campaign shortly after that. After that came American Workers Need You. Then came American Workers Radio. Then came National Small Business Weekend. And for the last 4 years, we've been promoting November as American Made Month. It was actually President Ronald Reagan back in 1985 that asked all businesses and all Americans to help promote a time of the year, getting to the Christmas holiday season, to go out and support American businesses and, of course, seek out American-made labels. So a lot of what we do are in a reflection of what he also wanted America to be. We've offered a lot of realistic formulas during our broadcast, and without the help of people like Larkin Conley, Rich Loges, Mark Andel, Curtis Ellis, so many of our guests, Henry Chaplinsky, we would not have been able to do the good things that we have done. And as we begin American Made Month tomorrow, I'm asking all of you to check out the internet site. You can either go direct to AmericanMadeMonth.com, or you can see the link on the front page of AmericanWorkersRadio.com. There are many politicians that want to give proclamations and things like that, and I say, well, that's very nice, but once the proclamation is given, what are you going to do to promote it? And they say, well, it's hard for me to do that because, you know, many of my supporters are not Americans, and they're foreigners. I don't want to make them feel that their imported stuff is not that important. And I said, well, then maybe the proclamations should come only when you are able to make a big to-do out of them and support them yourself. By doing that, these politicians are not supporting their local businesses, but being concerned about outsiders controlling their interests. This weekend, as every first Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, is National Small Business Weekend. Please go out and support all of your local businesses because they are the heart and soul of the community. Now, let's get back to business. Well, as you know, next Tuesday is the big day. It's the midterm elections, and we're just days away. And I really feel that elections should be about content, not about a lot of meaningless talk. I'm very disappointed watching the ads, seeing all the candidates slinging mud at each other, instead of giving us reasons to go out and vote for the candidates that are pledging to work for the positive good of the people that they represent and the country at large, or the state at large, or the cities and the towns where they are going to be representing. And that's what I want to start today's conversation with, because I feel a vote is very important. And no matter what happens next Tuesday, I am urging everyone to go out and vote. After listening all I had to say, thank you much. And now, because Curtis Ellis is with us, I'm going to ask him to be first today. Curtis, how are you doing, guy? And what's happening with all that's going on?
I am so excited, I just can't hide it. Less than a week away, and we have this huge election. This very well could be the most important election, midterm election, we've seen. I always hate to say in our lifetime, but I tell you, it's really that important. We've had such a dramatic turnaround on so many fronts under President Trump. We've changed the trade policy. We've changed, opened our eyes to what China is up to and what they're doing to American industry and American jobs. We've had renewed faith in the existence of our country. When President Trump comes out and says, I am a nationalist, I am an American nationalist, and this is something that was unheard of for how many years? We've been building 40 years. Well, let's forget about America. Let's work for the global economy. Let's transfer more authority to the UN and the World Trade Organization, and harmonious relations with China and with other countries, and we don't really need an America anymore. We've had such a dramatic turnaround with unemployment going down, with starting to train people for jobs again in the skilled trades, that not everybody, you don't need a college education to prosper in this country. People of all skills and all abilities should be able to make a living and raise a family. We've seen dramatic reductions in unemployment. And this is all at stake in this election. Plus, the very idea of decency and civility and treating people with respect and due process and having a respectful conversation with people you disagree with, not just calling them names, calling them racists or xenophobes or just some kind of horrible name. The idea that we can have a range of opinions and have differences in opinion and still be Americans, that's what's at stake in this election. Because if the Democrats take over the House of Representatives or the Senate, what we're going to see is endless investigations. Everything that we've gained so far will be lost. They are talking about raising taxes. They're talking about opening the border, abolishing border enforcement altogether, because they believe that everybody in the world has equal rights to an American citizen. And if somebody in any part of the world wants to come to America, it's racist and wrong for us to deny them. And they've never thought through the idea that you can't have open borders in a welfare state at the same time. There are 4 billion people in the world that would love to come to America and get food stamps, Obamacare, and Section 8 housing vouchers. I mean, they'd be foolish not to. I mean, if I was living in a mud hut somewhere and somebody told me, well, there's this other place you can go where people will give you money to eat, give you a house to live in, give you a telephone, and explain to me what a telephone is, and then they'll give it to you, and I'd be foolish not to want to go there. I'd probably walk over broken glass to get there. And so if we see the Democrats take over, they will reverse the progress we've made. They will take it even further in the other direction. But all of the positive work that should be done in Washington will come to a grinding halt so that there can be this nonstop investigation, pillorying, I don't know if that's a verb, they would put President Trump in a pillory in the public square. There would be, we saw this, I can remember, 20 years ago, when the Republicans controlled the House of Representatives, and they put Bill Clinton on trial, impeachment, and all they did was investigate him. They investigated the president, and people were sick of it. They said, look, we elected you to do something for us. What are you doing to make my life better? What are you doing to make my job more secure, my kids' future better? We didn't elect you to play political games, play gotcha with the other party. And that's what's going to happen here. The Democrats, we've already seen it. The resistance mobs, the resistance hysteria that they whip up, they would then have subpoena power in the House of Representatives, and they would be playing gotcha all the time, attacking the Republicans, attacking President Trump, instead of doing what they should be doing, which is trying to make this a better country, you know, fix this, fix that, make it so that I can make a living better, you can make a living better, American businesses, American people can have a brighter future. Instead, they'll be playing political games. I mean, that's what this is about. So you have to ask yourself, are you better off now than you were 2 years ago? And if the answer is yes, if you feel more confident in the future, more confident in your ability to get a job or get a raise in the job that you have, you have to vote, and you have to vote Republican next Tuesday, November 6th. It's that simple.
Curtis, you said it all in a few sentences. I want to tell you something. As I go around, people want to see the progress that we have going on right now to continue. Most people don't believe that we were even dropped to that level where we were for maybe 25 years until President Trump And I'm not just promoting President Trump. I'm promoting all of our efforts here and what Mark and everybody else has been doing, not only talking about Republicans, but Democrats and independents are all to blame for allowing this to happen in the first place. People do not want to go backward. I really am waiting for next Tuesday's election, because this is going to be the report card on what has happened in America. If the people don't understand that positive things have happened, things that we've been begging people to talk about and take action on for several years through our broadcast, I'll be amazed. But I'm hoping that people will go out, because this is really the thermometer of what we're doing in America. Are they appreciative of our efforts? We'll know next Tuesday. Do they want to see that continue? We'll know next Tuesday. Do they want our borders open and everybody to come in? Then we'll see that next Tuesday. I am not for the borders, and we'll talk about the borders a little bit later on in today's program. But first, thank you so much, Curtis. I want to turn the microphone over for a minute to Rich Loges. Rich, what did you think of our opening today, and also what Curtis had to say?
Hey, guys. Good morning to our listeners, to everyone. Curtis, thanks for being back on. We missed having you on. And I used to, you know, you guys may recall, I used to roll my eyes, Curtis, at this most important election ever rhetoric that we'd always hear. I always did. I rolled my eyes at it. But when 2016 rolled around, I said, even though I don't believe any politician is a savior or a messiah, I don't believe that, but I said that our win in 2016, at least for the time being, what it did is it saved America from being owned by the Democratic Party. I believe if Clinton had won, the Democrats would have never lost the presidency, Supreme Court, or the federal courts ever again. And I still believe that today. I think the evidence is even stronger, my case today, than it was in 2016. So it was our most important election ever. In 2018, and we're down, Michael, we've got polls open in 139 hours. And 42 minutes and 17 seconds, just in case anyone wants an exact number. And it is our most important midterm election ever. And if we're going to treat this, Michael, as a job interview, right? We heard that during the Kavanaugh hearings. You want to treat it as a job? Let's look at what's happened. Let's go through the resume points real quick. What's happened economically? What we've had economically, we've had over $30 billion in regulation cuts. We've got tax reform that directly favors working families, small businesses, people like Henry, people like Mark Andrew, you know, people like myself. Small business owner confidence levels are at record highs right now. You've got a reduction in the big government industrial complex. The big government industrial complex always stifles and harms small business growth. And it's a lie, Curtis. It is a lie to say that tax reform has increased our deficits. It will be correct to say that if we don't have an average of 0.4% GDP growth each quarter for the next 6 years, then it will be correct. And if we're not averaging 0.4 GDP growth per quarter for the next 6 years, we got a lot bigger problems about whether Mark Andel's got an extra $1,000 in his pay every year. So that's a lie, Curtis. It's a regurgitated lie. And there's other things, Michael, as well. Outside of economics, which of course is always crucial. You know, we're the president and the GOP majority Senate is restoring our federal and Supreme Courts to originalist courts. I don't like the word conservative, because courts are not supposed to be political bodies. They're restoring them to where they are originalist courts that favor liberty and work to prevent the infringement upon our constitutional rights. Now, there's so many other things that I could go through. The opposition party's main platform, Curtis, right? What is it? It's anti-Trumpism, and it's democratic socialism. And the Democratic Party they're going to have a big day of reckoning, I believe, in 6 days, because for the last decade, the Democrats have lost over 1,000 elections, state and national, over 900 on the state level, 100 nationally. The majority of people in the majority of states have not wanted their politics and policies. So I do believe that this is it is the most important midterm, because if you want to keep the momentum going, we're going to come out and we're going to vote red, even when we don't like some of those candidates. If you let the opposition party get back into the game, I really think Curtis is correct. It's going to undo a lot of the work that all of us achieved in the last 2 years. So that's my public service announcement, Michael. Thank you.
Very good. And I just would like to add, all that we talked about, the ownership of America, we also have to mention that foreigners began to take over America's industries and so many things in America that it has all now been halted, stopped. Everybody is on hold. So this is a very important part. If this continued as it had in the last 20 years, in another 10 years, America's big industries, little industries, would be mainly owned by foreigners. Do you agree with that, Curtis?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it would be cheered on and accelerated by U.S. government policies. We've seen that for the last 40 years, and it certainly would become more the case. Right now, I wrote last week about this very interesting and very pernicious U.S. government policy, which has actually helped foreign companies and given them an unfair advantage over American companies.
Mm-hmm.
It's you've got people like Amazon and Walmart and other e-commerce giants, which, by the way, includes folks like FedEx and UPS, who are in the package delivery business, are more than happy to help foreigners and create production over in Asia, because they make more money shipping stuff in from Asia than they do shipping it from, say, Kentucky or Philadelphia. Here's how it works. When you order a let's say, a pair of pants or a sweater on Amazon, and it's made in China, it's shipped into the country with no taxes, no tariff, no customs duty whatsoever. It works as if it's treated as if you went overseas and brought back duty-free merchandise. Under the law now, you're allowed to bring in any person can bring back with them into the country $800 worth of goods duty-free.
Mm-hmm.
So normally, that, a sweater, a knit sweater, would normally have a 30% duty attached to it. So when the corner store imports, say, $10,000 worth of these sweaters to put on the shelf for you to buy, they pay 30% or, you know, $3,000 duty on those, on the $10,000 worth of sweaters. When Amazon, when you order it through Amazon and it's shipped to you, you're buying a $10 sweater and it comes in duty-free, as if Amazon had nothing to do with this transaction. This is costing the Treasury billions of dollars. More importantly, it's giving e-commerce, people like Amazon, an unfair advantage over the mom-and-pop store on the corner that pays taxes on everything they stock in their store. And it's incentivizing companies like The Gap and elsewhere to make their goods in Asia rather than making it close to home, making it in America. So we would see more of this. The president, President Trump, has started to move against these things. They haven't yet acted on this very strange, bizarre loophole. They did withdraw the United States from the International Postal Union, it's an international treaty we signed on to a million years ago that gives so-called developing countries a special break on postal rates. China is still considered a developing country. So it's cheaper to ship something from Beijing to New York than it is to ship it from Los Angeles to New York. I mean, this is just bizarre. So we would see more if we don't, if we did not have the reversal of policies under President Trump, we would see more foreign companies buying American assets, taking over more American companies, and we would see foreign companies taking over market share of the American consumer market, putting American companies out of business. So it's really, it's really amazing. Let me give some good news here. There's, now that I've told you everything is wrong and how, you know, how these people are trying to mess with us, there is some good news. As Rich was saying, we've seen a rollback of regulations and a pro-business policy. The Atlantic Coast Pipeline is a natural gas pipeline that's going to take gas from the Marcellus shale fields. Oh, Pennsylvania's got a part of that, and take it down to Virginia and North Carolina, where people need natural gas. They are starting to train the workers to build this. It's going to be built by American workers, American Steel, and the Laborers International Union has begun training residents in Virginia, because that's where the first part of the pipeline is going to be laid. They're going to start teaching people the skills they need for being pipeline builders. So we are already seeing some positive effects of the president's agenda. The Obama administration was against natural gas, against fossil fuels. Every type of regulation and regulatory hurdle that could have been erected was erected. Instead of erecting regulatory hurdles, the Trump administration wants to erect pipelines and create jobs. And so we're now starting to see some job training taking place in Virginia so that people can get good-paying jobs, family-supporting jobs, and deliver the energy we need to the markets that need it. So that's the good news.
And become even more energy self-reliant. That's
right. So we don't have weirdos like Saudi Arabia holding us by the short hairs.
You know, Larkin, I know you were ready to say something there. Larkin, this election season is probably something that you look forward to all the time. Working the polls for many years, and what's your advice to everybody?
Well, first of all, I want to say good morning to everybody, to Mark and Rich and Henry and you, Michael, and all of our listeners, and thank Curtis for coming back on. I will tell you, Curtis, that if they could tell me when you are going to be available and when you're going to be on, I could get a better night's sleep the night before. so that when you come on, I mean, Curtis starts to talk and I immediately find a blank piece of paper and I start to write.
Me too.
And he goes from point to point and I'm going, oh, that's even better than, and all of a sudden, I look in the mirror, and my brain, my whole head looks like a centrifuge. It's going so fast around trying to keep up with it. I absolutely love it. And I loved you on Stuart Varney last week. That was really some great stuff. The election.
Thank you.
I want to mildly disagree with Curtis on it. I think that until we regain a level of patriotism similar to what we had in the 50s and 60s, until we set a stable and sustainable future policy and process for this country, every election, everyone coming up, will be more important than the last. And I don't think that's going to change anytime soon. I really don't. And I think in all of our caucus groups in Philadelphia, we had established that the longer the Republicans stay in control of the city of Philadelphia, the more important each election becomes. And I'm going to tell you that 2020 is going to dwarf 2016. And 2022 and 2024 are going to dwarf the previous elections until we get back to where we need to be. And I don't know anybody that doesn't agree that we need to be back where we were decades ago. We've left that, we've deserted it, and it's gotten so toxic now it's almost unbearable. So, Curtis, I agree. This is an important election, but guess what? Everyone after this is going to be equally as important, and it's going to take probably another 4 to 8 political cycles to get this fixed.
But at least, Larkin, you're right, but at least we're now on the road to re-establishing what America is supposed to be.
Yeah, Larkin, you raised so many good points there. This is going to be a long process. It's going to take several election cycles, several years, if not decades, to right the ship, to turn the ship of state in the right direction. But you raised such a good point, too, on we have to get back that spirit of patriotism. You look at how what you said reminded me of, you look at the reaction that the media had, the corporate left-wing media had, when President Trump made a simple statement, I am a nationalist.
Oh my
I'm
Lord.
An American nationalist. I believe in America, the nation. And they just went crazy. They said, this is like Nazism. This is like fascism. This is like Hitler. This is one step away from the concentration camps, believing in your nation. This is how far we have come. How far the left and the globalist mentality has seeped into everything. That believing in your own country and putting the welfare of our own citizens first, having a government that looks out for the welfare of its own citizens is evil, is thoroughly and completely evil. That's how it's regarded on the other side. And the other side has control of our broadcast media to a large extent, almost exclusively. They have control of the internet to a huge extent. Google and Facebook, they all believe this, that we are global corporations, they are global corporations, we are global citizens, and there is no need anymore for individual nations. And this is, it used to be a fringe idea that you would take authority and power away from the national government and give it to some international body like the United Nations or something like that. That you would have the United Nations, something that we don't elect anybody to, making rules for us. But now that is considered mainstream. That is considered doctrine, dogma, an article of faith of the left, of the Democrat Party. That's what they believe now. It used to be, I don't know how old you are, Larkin. I don't know how old my co-panelists on this show are, but I can remember when people used to laugh when the John Birch Society in the 1960s talked about the globalist conspiracy, that there were people in Washington who wanted the UN to run the world and wanted the UN to run America. And they wanted these international institutions to write our laws in America. And they were like, oh, that's crazy stuff, man. These people are nuts. Well, that's what they're saying now on television. When Donald Trump says, I am a nationalist, I'm president of the United States, not president of the world, I'm going to look out for what's good for America, you've got people like Wolf Blitzer and the people sitting next to him on TV saying, oh my God, that's horrible. Everybody knows that we can't have nations anymore. That's like one step away from Auschwitz. I mean, that's how far we've come, and that's why it's going to take, as you said, Larkin, a long time for us to fix this, to turn around people's thinking back to the way it used to be. And back to the way it used to be is when we had a prosperous country and everybody was getting ahead.
You're right. Lark, I want to tell you this, and people are telling me they're turning the televisions off. They don't want to hear all this negativity. Some of the people feel that these are professional agitators, and I believe that there are professional protesters and agitators that make their way to every place where there's something positive going to be done to help America and the American worker. I see it all the time. There's no, you look in some of these crowds and you say, where do these people get the money to travel from place to place? Where do they sleep at night before they get up to 7:30 in the morning to protest? How do they get there? Somebody has to be paying for their, you know, their travel, their living expenses. These are professional agitators. I just don't know who is paying them. In fact, in some of the news channels, some of the people just say things for shock factor. When they're picked up by people watching at home and saying, oh, maybe that's true. They're even amazed, the people who are on TV, that the people are buying a lot of this crap. And that's all it is crap. Larkin, you're right. Until we get the people back to the point where they are so proud to be Americans, so proud to have a job, so proud to go out and enjoy themselves, we're going to be still remaining flat. Thank God the election is coming up Tuesday, because we will see a report card on all the efforts that we've been doing over the years and the recent efforts by President Trump.
I got to add a funny story to this. Last week I was calling on somebody, and I won't get into the specifics other than to say, I called you and I left a message, and this lady said to me, what number did you call me on? And I told her the number I had in my phone, and she said, oh, that's the wrong number. Take this number. And she pulled a flip phone out. And I said, well, I haven't seen a flip phone since I was in Philadelphia with Michael Pleos. That's been a long time ago. And she said, no, this is my Obama phone. And I said, well, what's the other one? She said, well, that's my personal phone. That's the one I use with my family. But when I'm doing business and discussing stuff, I use the Obama phone. Low-income Americans on Medicaid and food stamps. Free monthly cell service.
Wow.
Nice.
I didn't know they got the service.
It goes back to the biggest letters I have written on my Curtis page right here. You can't have open borders and a welfare state at the same time. You can't. It's not sustainable. And when you're $23 trillion in the bucket right now, you can't. That's why every other country wants to see us. Well, take them.
Well, every other country, Larkin, wants to see us go down as they continue to try to go up. But with the new administration, they're now starting to go flat as we go up. And that's really where we put ourselves by bad leadership for 25, 30 years. Since President Reagan got out of office, I believe that the country has slowly been sold out to foreigners. You know, we started with the car industry because we didn't want to have all that aggravation of shipping the cars over. They built the plants in the USA. Well, a lot of the other companies started to buy up American assets, start building the companies in America, being able to use the American-made label on their product, which is a fact, and they did support American workers as well. So they got many good things. They got the American label. They got American workers employed. They were able to save some money shipping the products from overseas. Well, now we want to have more made in this country, period. And we don't have to worry, because as Mark said, there is no tariff on an American-made item. With that, I want to turn to Mark. How are you doing, Guy?
Good, good. How you doing, Mike, Rich, Curtis? Great to have you on, Larkin. Henry's always making us sound good. So many things you guys talked about that I'm like Larkin writing things down. Curtis, thank you for 20-plus emails. Everything's point on, always, so hats off to you, them interviews, all you do. Our hard work, all the work we do is making change, guys. So, you know, it's great work. Curtis, you asked, you know, a question because it's big voting. You know, you're all point on with this big election. Rich, you said it once, if we didn't win back 2016, you know, we would have never, we're over, it's done. But you said, are you better off today than we were before, Curtis? That was one of the questions you asked. And I have to answer, and I asked everybody that with the Made in America store by General Welding. I said, hey, not an R&D thing, but I'm busier than I've been. Military-wise, in 2 years, won 20-plus systems through Northrop Grumman, and I had 22 systems over 22 years. We're doing work that ends up at Halliburton, BP, and ExxonMobil. On the oil rigs, busy, busy, busy. You know, Curtis, it's just, it's all in front of me. I'm in the game. So my answer is absolutely nobody can deny it. I'm busier than I've been in 10 years. Hats off. And it leads me, you know, the voting, you guys, everything you talked about, I agree with. Larkin, good points, Rich always. But I've been spending a lot of time on the skilled trade shortage. Last week, again, going to NYSERDA, which is in New York. There's 17,000 retired teachers. They asked me to be a speaker down in Verona. Met some tough teachers, 60 to 95 years old, and I was afraid of half of them. You know, again, the one said I got my education by walking to school. By the time I got to school, that's when I got my education on the walk. You know, in this new world, yesterday I was asked to be down and part of what's called Career Tech Education, CTE. I was asked by Joanne Ryan and you know, Mike, we've got to get her on. She's an educator for 39 years. She sits a professor at Buff State, pushing and what would be called tech. It's career tech education, but we think welding and machining, which is in that circle, but it's also business. She picked on it a lot. Business is career tech education. She's all about trying to get the diplomas. They're pushing Regents diplomas everywhere. The book of lists in New York State, Business First, is who we had the meeting with. The president, John Tihu, president and publisher, and the top editor, Jeff Wright, at Business First yesterday morning. So we meet him, educator of 39 years, Joanne. We meet a human resource girl, about 30, from Astronics Corp, and myself, being MIA, Made in America, General Welding, a businessman in the game. And we tried to get convinced Business First to make the book of lists 100 schools in Western New York. Have that list, okay, the Regents, the best schools to come to, and they're great, but put on there the CTE enhanced diploma is the best diploma. And Mike, you'd love this career tech education. They need so many workers and welders and the education system, but out of this, they said that education became a business. Larkin, you agree. They should keep politics out of the education. They all know the shortage we're going through. We cannot find workers. So, Curtis, as busy as I am, but I can't find a worker. The cultural change, the soft skills missing. But this CTE, Mike, I'm going to send you a lot of information. It's career tech education. It's what they want to promote and what we've got to drive, I think, on the show. We've got to get them to accept it and use that data that's out there to help rate these schools in a better way. But that's my two cents today.
And I would like to see even those schools be able to offer a degree to people, because there was so much emphasis put on college, where colleges did not offer you any trade skills. I think the trade school skills have to be turned over, where you're able to get a certificate as a college degree.
And, Mike, I want to include in this career tech education, CT, it involves STEM, Dream It, Do It, P-TECH program, BOCES. One of the major things out of our little panel discussion in the president of Business First's office, we knew it, you know, we say there's a disconnect. I tell them one size fits all is not working. The stereotype, a welder machinist treated like you're doing drugs, it's terrible. And a lot of these guidance counselors promote it that way. But we all agreed that there has to be an image change. So, you know, if it was AT&T and AT&T messed up bad, they changed their name. BOCES, Larkin, I think you're familiar, Rich, up in New York, they call it BOCES. It's got a bad name. It, you know, people think it's for high-risk kids, and we know kids need a purpose. So we all agree that it has to have an image change. Industrial Arts became a bad name. But the CTE, Career Tech Education, we hit on so many things, but the image has to change. Back in the day in Buffalo, if you went to Westinghouse, they didn't look at it like blue-collar workers. They look, oh, you're going to Westinghouse. That's okay. You're going to Bethlehem Steel. But the big plants are gone. So these kids don't get that it's not okay to go. Become a welder, a machinist, an engineer, a business person. So just you guys comment on that, please.
Well, you know, that's interesting, Mark. You know, when you said that, it made me think of something. You go back to the old days, old before I was even born.
You're only 39. Way you're back. Age before Curtis, right?
Pardon me?
You're only 39 years old, right? You were
yeah, that's right. the idea of big plants is something that really only arose in the 20th century, in the early years of the 20th century. The Congress of Industrial Organizations, the CIO and AFL-CIO, was a new invention. Because you didn't have mass industry, mass production.
Right.
That grew up, you know, Henry Ford, all that stuff. It started with the steel mills. But you had American Federation of Labor, and these were skilled trades. What people were supposed to, what in the early years of the Republic and through most of our history in America, young men, and it was men, because now I would have to say young men and women. But so young people were encouraged to get a trade. That's how you would make a living, through a skill. You would have a trade that you could use to make a living, acquire property, support a family. You didn't make a living by going to work for a large corporation and getting a wage and dealing with the HR department and sucking up to the boss and climbing the greasy pole. You had something. You had a skill, and that would support you and your family for your life. So what you're talking about, Mark, is really going back to the basic premises of how people live. Teach young people a skill, and they can sell that skill. They don't have to go to work for Westinghouse, besides the fact that there is no Westinghouse
right.
anymore. But if they have this skill, they can work for any number of people. And if they don't happen to, you know, they can get contract work. They can, am I wrong? Am
Which
I right?
Curtis, there's so many jobs like TIG welding, gas tungsten arc welding. That guy or girl right now is so valuable. They're going to make six figures. It's incredible. But we've got to get this perceived, you know, the stigma, the image change, so these parents, because everything in our meeting, even yesterday, last week, comes to parents, parents, and parents. They push college so hard. College became a business. They said, hey, you go to college, you'll figure out what you need to do. Well, no, Mom, I don't really know. Dad, I don't really know. You'll figure it out in college. Well, everybody I talked to, they didn't figure it out in college. They figured out when they're 25, 30 what they want to do. So they're selling that college so hard. They got to get back to selling the skilled trades, a two-year maybe degree, and this CTE training program that you can actually maybe learn how to change your car tire. These kids never held a hammer or a screwdriver. It's sad.
You're right.
It is sad.
You are so right, and I want to tell you something. Until that changes, it's going to be difficult for our young people to make a big living in America. Right now, they are making big debt. Going to a school, graduating with a great certificate, but that great certificate carries 20, 30 years of a loan that has to be repaid, either quickly or slowly. So we have to do something, as I mentioned before, to get those certificates to the young people who are in the industries at college level. It should be a specializing program where they go for 4 years, 3 years, 2 years, whatever, in the specialty, and they can continue. That certificate should be a certificate of honor. Mark, you're honored to be a welder. You are honored to be a businessman. You should be a national focal point for this type of a movement.
I'm a little, I'm guilty of loving America, too, and a little patriotic, Mike.
And I'll tell you, like Larkin said, we need to get back to this more than ever, and these professional agitators have to be starved out of the system. The person who's giving the money has to shut the faucet off.
And that equally important in that those points I made was a sustainable, stable future policy. What we're doing now in this country is not sustainable. It's not. It's just flat is not. You take away Social Security and you talk about a civil war, you won't have a civil war. Washington will be invaded. I mean, you can't do that. There are millions of people out there who rely on Social Security. And you take that away, folks, and listen, I'll tell you what, I would have had the biggest food company in the world, in the history of the world, if I would have been allowed to run up a $23 trillion debt without any concern as to the money I had borrowed to get my business started. I don't get it. I don't get where the politicians, there's two things they have to reckon to. It's the debt, and it's, and Curtis, I'm hoping we'll support this. It's not getting much press now. It's not getting much discussion because the elections are keeping, are everything above the fold is about elections. But China very, very, very sneakily is taking over the world. They are building military bases in places where you didn't even think anybody would want a military base, like Africa and like South America. They're building military bases in ports of call. And nobody's saying a word about it, but we're going to wake up one morning and go, holy mackerel, we might have the best weapons in the world, but guess what? We've been strategically outfoxed.
That's right. And by the way, when they open up a base in any given country, there is no way to stop them from patrolling the air or the sea to get to those places. So in many respects, they have really outfoxed us. And
yeah, they have a base in Djibouti, which is a place you never heard of. It's in Africa. It's in the Horn of Africa. It is at the entrance, basically, it's at the southern entrance of the Red Sea. So you can't go through the Suez Canal and head east toward Asia without passing by Djibouti. Djibouti also happens to be where the United States has a base. So we have a base there, naval and air base. And right next to it, coincidences, the Chinese opened a base.
Yeah. Yep.
And they're doing this everywhere. They have a base in Greece, so they a naval base. So the way they do it is they start out by saying, we want to run the port operations. Because we're shipping so many goods, so many container ships are coming in from China that we'll run the port operation and the cranes that unload the containers from the ships. And they do this and they strike a deal. And then when the countries can't pay because the terms are so onerous, they say, well, I'll tell you what, we'll just take over the port and we're going to use it as a naval base as well. And they've been doing this all over, and they have this Belt and Road Initiative, the One Belt, One Road. It's the new Silk Road that they're going to build infrastructure supposedly for trade between China and the West. And so Pakistan, Sri Lanka, Malaysia, every place between China and Africa and Europe are getting these deals made. China's making deals to build a highway, build a railroad, build a port, build a shipping facility, build all kinds of infrastructure. And the terms that China negotiates are very favorable to China, and they actually bring in their own workers to do the building so the locals don't get anything out of it. But then, as I said, the countries end up defaulting, and China takes over the infrastructure. So they end up owning the ports, owning the railroad, owning the highways, owning the airfields, and this is exactly what you're talking about. And
Curtis,
they're doing this all over the place. Vice President Pence gave a speech at the Hudson Institute a couple of weeks ago, and he brought this up. for the first time. We've been going along with this for years. We've been letting this happen and think, oh, this is very nice. China is helping develop the world.
Right.
We don't have to do it all ourselves. We'll let China do some of the foreign aid to the underdeveloped world. Oblivious of the fact that what China is doing is actually building strategic military assets around the world in key choke points. I was speaking with someone from the Malaysian embassy the other day, and Malaysia kicked the Chinese out because they said the deal you're offering us stinks. We're gonna end up being in hock to you guys, and you're gonna own half our country and the bigger half. So thanks, but no thanks.
Curtis,
and this is happening all over the place.
Mark, Rich, Larkin, Henry, I can see by the clock on the wall it's just about time to say do widzenia, which means goodbye in Polish. I want to say thank you. This has been another very educational program. This Tuesday, November the 6th, is Election Day. Please go out and vote. We want to know what is on the minds of the American people, what they're supporting, what they want to do in the future. Remember, this weekend is National Small Business Weekend. Go out of your way to support all of your local businesses. And remember, the month of November is Made in America, American Made Month. Please go out and support the American Made label. Once again, Curtis, thanks for being with us. And I hope we'll see each other very soon on the next broadcast so we can talk about election results and also
Yay.
About the borders. Okay, everybody, my best wishes to you and yours. Have a great one. Happy Halloween. Be sure to vote this Tuesday because your vote is very important. Have a great one.
Have a great week, guys, and thank you, Curtis, for all you do.
Thanks, everyone. Happy birthday to our engineer, Henry.
Thank you.
You're not like anything that I've seen. You're